Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. Be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Yet again, here in the turbulence of these transformative hours, the saucer pod cruises on the cosmic winds, propelled by alien technology of the inexhaustible kind. The dog poet is on the bridge of the saucer pod. What bridge there is, given that it's only a pod, but we enjoy being able to use our imagination, even if, strictly speaking, all of this is real, wherever it is possible to be. Many things are real in places where they can be and are not real where the darkness does not allow for their presence, even though they might actually be there in both places, but are just difficult to see for most people. Tonight, we are hovering over the Ukraine, where the usual forces of darkness are at it again. We've had periods of time called the Age of Reason, the Renaissance, and others, and I believe this could be called the Age of Discord. What are we supposed to do in times like this? That is a good question. We could just go on like we always do, which may vary considerably, depending on who we're talking about. We could go looking in search of safe harbor, provided we knew exactly where that might be. I found myself traveling around in the histories of the world's worst prisons last night. The motivation to do so came out of the blue. I'd known there were some bad places on the planet, but it turns out they were worse than I imagined. One of them is in Paris. Several are in the U.S. Certainly these places do not exist in a vacuum. The people in charge know they exist, and obviously they approve. There are some really bad people running around. You may call them misguided. I guess that's another way of putting it. I have to keep drawing my mind back to the same understanding that everything is the way it is for a reason. I know this must be true because I've been told this from sources I do not question. Despite the overwhelming power of appearances, I have to keep telling myself that things are not what they seem, and this has to mean that they are better than they seem because the opposite is unacceptable. This appears to be a year of great transformation, considering the drought in California and other natural disasters, along with the absolutely despicable character of our leaders and the runaway beast of the marketplace, hand in hand with the swift descent of culture into the abyss. Yes, we have the makings of possibly very difficult times coming for men. We can only hope that some unforeseen and unexpected force for good may yet appear within the great distress that surrounds us. I suspect it is all a matter of individual destinies, all charted according to individual intention. We must cultivate hope like a precious flower, as Arthur Conan Doyle is reputed to have said. We must convince ourselves of the presence of light when there appears to be no light at all. Though others cavort as beasts around us, we must not allow ourselves to be drawn down into the same murk that sweat threatens to swallow civilization as a whole. I could hardly qualify much of what I see and hear about as coming under the definition of civilization. The specter of war and deprivation threatens on all sides, and there are those who are actively pushing for this to occur. I don't know what to think yet, despite the grim evidence, which I can observe without the need to travel to any great extent. I go to bed at night with a sense of calm and expectation for the invisible realms through which I travel every night, and I awaken with the same degree of hope each morning. I rise to my tasks with an eagerness that my general lack of success flies in the face of. I feel little or no apprehension of any kind, and I am soon to be off on my own in a strange land and bereft of companions, but it all seems exactly as it should be. I'm long past the point where I doubt that there is a force much greater than myself at work in the very center of my existence. It steals up on you. Day by day it's more there than it was, but it comes at such an imperceptible rate one doesn't notice the changes. I look at the state of my mind and how I was a year ago, and then I look at myself today, and it is very apparent to me that many things have changed. Sometimes I find myself trying to influence the course of events. That's a natural human reaction to the conditions of life. I'm able to influence nothing, but there is much which influences me. I think to myself, perhaps if I do this or that, it will make some difference in the way things go, but it makes no difference at all. It is written, whatever that means. The Muslims have a word for it called kismet. Well, all of this is similar to the way nature goes about her business. I know I've used the same example many times. One plants a seed in the ground, but try as one might, you never see the plant come out of the ground. One day it's just there. But it is there because you put it there, and because the sun shone upon it, and because you watered it. And this is so much like what happens in our lives. We plant things, we water them with our attention, and something comes about. When I was living in the jungle in Hawaii, an urge came upon me, much like the urge of last night, to look into the prison conditions. Ah, well, I don't know, you know, things happen, and it's only later that I understand why I got into them. I was uneasy about the future during the time I was in Hawaii, and well, it wasn't a healthy situation from what I could see. I felt like I was treading water in a stagnant pond. So I took to going to a place and sitting there at regular intervals and speaking into nature about my situation and asking for something and what I might do about it. I was asking for help in a manner of speaking, and I kept at it. Just like the plants springing up out of the ground, the events in my life took a sudden turn. But it wasn't all of a sudden. It just came to an all-of-a-sudden realization. My life dramatically changed, and it changed in a way directly related to what I had been asking about. When I look back over my life, if I pay careful attention, and I'm able to stay at it for a time, I come up with incident after incident where positive change came out of nowhere, and I was quickly in a situation entirely different than the one I had been in previously. When I take the time to look carefully, it is amazing to me how many times I can see this has happened. I was made aware that the conditions of my life, as they have been for the past 15 years, were going to change. This came to me via my invisible friends prior to it actually even occurring or becoming known to me. And this couldn't have appeared at a worse time, given available revenues and the state of the world, but somehow, all the details are working themselves out. Each little item of necessity comes about in concert with my approach to the move I am going to be making. The place to which I am bound came right out of the blue, and was most strangely offered to me by someone I don't even know, and who didn't know about me, about what I do, beforehand. It seemed as if he was doing this without even knowing he was doing it, as if other forces were at work outside the field of his awareness. Strange hardly covers it. It turns out to be the sort of place where nothing of what the world threatens at the moment is present in any way. It is in an isolated area, but yet a mere half hour in one direction and an hour in the other from two bustling metropolises. There's a great deal that is odd going on, but it is going on in a way that one cannot look at directly. Lately, I will be half watching a movie while I'm writing a post or fleshing out a song, working on an idea for something, and I will see that at certain intervals the film is talking to me. I don't know how to describe this without seeming a bit off, but it's not one of those maybe, maybe not things. It was pretty definite to me that it was happening, and it happens not infrequently. Quite often now, I get drawn away from whatever I'm involved in and find myself in conversation with my invisible friend. This usually means, or has meant, in the past, that some big change is about to occur. I don't put credence in things always amounting to the same thing or always turning out the same way. One can get complacent with that attitude. I always allow that anything could go any which way, depending on many things, but in fact depending on only one thing. I think many of us are far more fortunate than we imagine ourselves to be. I know that I am. As I was reading about those terrible prisons last night and watching some of the YouTube videos, I was very much reminded of how fortunate I am. I have also actually been in places like that more than once, where life was cheap and uncertain and where death and worse were walking the corridors and yards. Though there was much of what I could be called misfortune in these happening to me, there was also a great deal of good fortune attending my releases and acquittals. I've come to believe that life is very much like time-lapse photography. And that it's only possible for us to know certain things at certain times and not at others. It is a determined and consistent course of our lives that leads to a determined end. Even when it all may seem haphazard and without meaning, it is anything but. Everything that happens, happens for a reason, and we can't see this only because the reason has yet to reveal itself. We miss a train and we're upset about the inconvenience, but something else happens because of it. We lose our jobs or our living space, but then something else happens as a result of it. We're suddenly estranged from those with whom all the intimate details of our life have played out over lengths of time, and we cannot imagine what the point of that could be. And then, later down the road, we see. If we are inclined to see, for some of us, not seeing is the whole point, because seeing would definitely impact upon our self-interest. But what is the greatest self-interest? Finding out what it's all about, and therefore, thereby, being able to act accordingly upon it. We have to trust in something. Far too many of us trust in our own devices, and that leads to us being left to our own devices. Certainly, there are those of us with great proficiency in controlling the movements of a sailing boat. But that does not mean we are proficient in the mastery of all boats. Some boats sail upon seas that the human eye cannot discern. And though we may have knowledge of the vagaries of the winds, we do not control the winds. We control very little in terms of the world around us, and that is why we absolutely must learn to control ourselves. It is only by doing this we are able to have an effect upon the world around us. I have been at this for my whole life. I have failed more times than I can count but I have never ceased to come back at it again. And there has then been progress, commensurate with my coming back again and again and again. And I now come to see that the only failure is the failure to continue. The only way that you can fail is to quit. If you're not going to quit, that impresses upon the ineffable. Eventually, we fall into the hands of whatever we've given our attention to and our loyalty. For some, this means an unfortunate end and a protracted stay in unpleasant environments. We inevitably wind up wherever it is we are headed. If we are headed in circles, we will continue to circle. If we are headed in a spiral, that spiral can lead down and it can lead up. It's a riddle. We have no say, and we have a great deal of say. It is up to us whether we come to figure this out or not, whether we put ourselves in the proper state of receptivity so that we can be informed of what is what. It is something we can accomplish, but whether we will or not, only time will tell. We shall find the result of our industries at the time and place we are meant to. Okay, then. We have come to the end of another broadcast, and I will see you next week, if there is one. Until then, may you all strive to find that one thing of great importance, and upon which all life is dependent, for life and for action of any kind. That said, greetings, Lord Ganesha. Much gratitude, Lady Nature and Tara. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ. Hare Krishna. Bismillah. Irham. Irahim. Irahman, rather. Om Amitabha. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. Aloha and Aru! He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. You can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when it gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. Bringing live and truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.